From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now. Coming up, a different take on Russia and Ukraine. We'll speak with a scholar who says the U.S. has played this all wrong.
But first, the Thai military, which has been slowly taking power after 6 months of political deadlock, declaring martial law a day after the government was deposed this week, has now officially announced a coup.
The Peace and Order Maintenance Command, which includes the Royal Thai Army, Royal Thai Air Force, Royal Thai Navy, and National Police, hereby announced that it is necessary to take control of governing the country, starting May the 22nd, 2014, at 16:30 onwards.
The coup follows that court decision that ousted Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra a couple weeks ago. A caretaker government was created, and now that's been replaced. The BBC's Jonathan Head is in Bangkok. And Jonathan, you tweeted that this is the most public coup any of us will ever see. But what does it feel like on the ground?
Well, it was very surprising. And I have to say, we're still not quite clear why it happened. There were talks going on, only the second day of talks, between rival factions who are bitterly opposed and disagree profoundly. With that much bitterness, nobody was expecting a second day of talks to be much more than exploratory. And yet, just as those talks were wrapping up in the afternoon, suddenly troops in trucks raced across and blocked the exits to the army club. I was there watching it. We were a bit baffled by this. Soldiers took up positions as though they were going to have to fight, looking very, very tense. A lot of soldiers. Shortly after that, we heard that the leaders of all those different factions had been talking had been detained, and that the military was going to announce a coup. And General Prayut, who many, many times in recent months has said he doesn't want to mount a coup, that it would not solve Thailand's problems, then announced he was taking over. It's quite tense. I can tell you this is not a relaxed coup at all. Very different from the one I witnessed here 8 years ago. I think the army knows there's a high likelihood of resistance, and they are moving very fast to consolidate control, with media stations blocked. You know, BBC and CNN are blocked off at the moment, with the army putting its own screenshot up there, and a number of other leaders being arrested too, leaders on both sides of the divide.
Well, Jonathan, this sounds completely different than the last couple of days, because we were seeing pictures of people taking selfies near barricades after martial law was imposed, the sense that it really wasn't that big a deal. Listening to you, it's sounding as if things have changed quite dramatically. What happened, or do you think this was the plan all along?
I don't know. It is very odd and hard to explain. I mean, General Prayut is known to be impetuous, but he's also a very intelligent man. He's had many opportunities to carry out a coup, and a lot of hardline royalists and the mainstream protest movement, the anti-government movement, have been urging him to do that, and yet he never did. And yet only 2 days after declaring martial law and saying that's all he would do, that he was simply maintaining security, suddenly he appeared to lose patience and take over. That's very, very hard to explain, and we simply don't know what his intentions are at the moment. What we do know is this is a very divided and shaky country, where there will be huge resistance on the government side, the so-called red shirts, who've become very politically organized in recent years. There will be huge resistance by them to the idea of the military taking over. It will raise the political temperature here very high. It's a bizarre day, because there didn't seem to be an urgent need of a coup. It seemed that there was more time to explore whether, in fact, the two sides could find some common ground.
So you've got this standoff between the red shirts who supported the government, the yellow shirts who didn't, who wanted to get rid of Prime Minister Shinawatra. You mentioned also royalists. This is a country that has a king, but it also has a huge tourism industry. What is your sense as this shift has happened? What's going to be the impact on the country?
Well, the economy cannot be helped, and the economy is already in trouble. It's already been suffering. The growth has really collapsed this year. Investment has stopped pretty much completely, because people have no sense of who's going to govern Thailand, what its future holds. The tourist industry has suffered in Bangkok. The rest of the country where tourists go, the beaches, has so far been isolated, and I don't think they need be badly affected. Tourism isn't the big problem here. I'm not even sure the major economy is yet a big problem, because you've got big global manufacturers who have got well embedded infrastructure who will be able to keep operating that won't be interfered with. The real problem is that Thailand's disagreements over how the country is governed are very profound. They've just got a lot worse. And you mentioned, you know, the monarchy there. Behind all of this, of course, is this anxiety about what happens when King Bhumibol is very old and frail, when he passes on. We're none of us allowed to speak openly about the monarchy, but every side has referred constantly to the monarchy. The yellows saying they think it's threatened by the governing party, which is very successful at elections. The red shirt supporters of the government saying ultra-royalists around the palace have been manipulating to get rid of them. So in the end, whether the army likes it or not, and the army is very loyal to the monarchy will be considered a very big part of this problem, and it may indeed be one of the causes for this coup.
The BBC's Jonathan Head on a very tense situation in Thailand. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.